Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, just a quick correction. Last week, I said that Spock's beard predated Sugar slightly. I was wrong. They formed in 92, the year Copper Blue came out.
Oh, right.
Yeah, The Light was 95, so I was slightly off there.
Now I remember, because we, like, that episode, we, you know, about them being in the bar together.
Right. So, I'm not saying they ripped off Sugar because they were slightly later, but they both ripped off the Beatles, is all I'm saying. And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2012, Silver Age by Bob Mould, concluding our Pride Month Bob Mould trilogy. Bob Mould is an American singer, songwriter, and guitarist, best known for his work with Husker Du in the 80s and Sugar in the 90s. Silver Age is Bob's 10th studio album. Solo album. It was released on September 4th, 2012 on Merge Records, produced by Bob Mould, and features Bob Mould on vocals, guitar, and keyboards, Jason Narducci on bass, and John Worster on drums. Reminder, I don't add any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find links to Silver Age on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along if you'd like. On to track one, Star Machine. Starting off strong, this is my pick for favorite.
I was tempted to do this too. This is good.
I love the ominous opening chords. But then he throws in lyrics like Silly Bird. You had a chance to go around the world, but you had to be a silly bird.
I think a lot of these albums are interchangeable. Like the three that we've done. Like this could easily have been Husker album.
Same songwriter. Primarily, but Grant wrote like five songs on that Husker album.
Right.
So, you know, and Bob wrote everything on the Sugar album. So, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of similarity when it's the same guy writing most of it, if not all of it. But, you know, as much as I'm, you know, mocking that lyric choice, I do actually have quite a bit of lyrics chosen for this, or, you know, picked out for this one to quote. But back to Star Machine. I like the separation. I complained about Husker and even Sugar, where it kind of got to me, the wall of sound. This, for the most part, has some nice separation. You can hear all the instruments distinctly, even though it's mostly loud, distorted electric guitar.
Yeah.
And even in the chorus, when you've got the doubled guitars, it doesn't get muddy. I think they discovered EQ and discovered that mid-range was a thing.
Which is strange, because, I mean, we're how many years into this, and he's just like, you know what, I think I'll balance this out a bit more.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because last night I skimmed through a bunch of Bob's earlier solo stuff, because I'm mostly familiar with this and On, like the last decade of his solo work. His earlier solo work, and workbook, I've written those workbook. Most of his earlier albums were pretty mellow.
Huh.
Like, regular alternative. Not particularly heavy. A lot of them have, like, one or two heavy songs, but most of them are kind of, like, good idea. Not good idea. Kind of, like, the more jangly, mellower stuff on the Sugar album. Kind of in that vein. So, this is where he got heavy again. And his latest album, Blue Hearts, is, aside from a couple mellow songs, straight up punk.
I kind of thought I had the wrong album because I thought we were doing something where he ventured off into different territory.
Then that, like, would be all of the previous solo albums, right. But I like the heavy stuff. Now, the lyrics are about someone who basically sells out for fame.
Okay.
And I always wondered if he's talking about himself, because in the bridge, it switches to the first person.
Interesting.
The beginning is, you had a chance to go around the world, but you had to be a silly bird. A revelation wouldn't matter much to you. Silly bird, you bought a lousy dream. Took a number from the Star Machine. The Star Machine will hand your ass right back to you, I think it is. And then in the bridge, it's, now it's getting hot in here. I'm doing everything you want me to, but nothing's ever good enough for you. You sucked the life right out of me.
Wow, because I could never say Mould really sold out, you know?
Well, that's what I wonder. Because he did years of kind of mainstream alternative. Now he's getting heavy.
Yeah.
And now he's thinking, like, maybe I tried that for years and it never worked. You know, the Star Machine spit me out.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to get loud and angry.
That's kind of what the Star Machine does.
And I don't know if it's that I know the lyric, don't know this album, particularly the first half, so well, but the lyrics seem pretty clear to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, clearer than Sugar or Husker, certainly.
Right. There was stuff going on that I would have had to have read the lyrics to have figured out what he was saying, because you can't really understand them all that well. But this one, yeah, this one, you get a lot more coming through.
Yeah. And I think it is the mix and the EQ. On to track two, Silver Age. He was 51 when the album was released. So probably 50 when he wrote it, Silver Age turning 50.
Yeah, I really like this one.
This was a close pick for favorite, almost my pick for favorite. Definitely one of my favorites on the album. It's just about being old and angry.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm going to go with this one as my pick for strongest.
And being, you know, having had his experience being a legend. This is how I'm going to spend my days. Gonna fight, gonna fuck, gonna feed, gonna walk away. Stupid little kid, wanna hate my game. I don't need a spot in your Hall of Fame. Basically saying, if you don't like what I'm doing, fuck you. Fuck my legacy. I don't give a shit.
Right. And that's kind of the whole rock and roll thing. It was never supposed to be about a legacy.
Yeah. I'm never too old to contain my rage, a Silver Age. Love the sloppy harmonies and the doo-doo-doos.
Yes.
Well.
Like, the background vocals are a bit rougher than what he did in the past, which is kind of funny if you think about it, because he was actually doing some punk and hardcore stuff, or hardcore-ish stuff. And but the background vocals would always be, like, spotless, you know?
Yeah.
Here, he's, you know, it sounds prettier, but the background vocals are now on the rough side.
Yeah. And I think that this goes for a lot of this album. I think that's why this is the title track and why he just decided to get loud again. I, you know, turned 50 a few months ago. You get to that point where you realize you're too old to give a shit anymore. And this is kind of feels like the point where Bob decided, I'm too old to give a shit anymore.
I'm trying to think of how long I've been there, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's... I went through a crisis, midlife crisis, for like a decade.
Maybe when I turned 40, I don't know.
So you skipped right over the midlife crisis and went straight to too old to give a fuck. Okay.
That's yeah. Cool. Yeah. You know, I got a lot of stuff out of my system, so I didn't need the midlife crisis. I didn't need to, like, what, you know, what might have been, or, you know, go find myself. You know, I did all that when I was younger.
That's the way you want to do it. Also, back to the song, I love how high he goes in the bridge. You know, he's got this deep, you know, thick voice, so it's just nice to hear him kind of explore his range a little bit.
Oh, yeah, his singing voice is always so interesting.
Yeah.
So he's so much to it. He can do so many things with it.
Hmm. On to track three, The Descent. This one feels a little Foo Fighters to me.
Yeah.
But it also made me realize why I don't like the Foo Fighters.
I've been trying to think this whole time, like, the difference between him and the Foo Fighters.
Because, like, as I've mentioned, I'm a big Bob fan. I like a couple of Foo Fighters songs. I like Monkey Wrench. I'll admit I like Everlong.
I like the early stuff, sure. And then after a while, it was just kind of like, okay, we're still doing this now.
Thing is, I buy it when Bob does it. Bob sells the emotion.
Yeah.
With the Foo Fighters, I won't say it sounds cynical, but it sounds contrived.
It's very presentational.
Yeah.
This is the image we're doing. Because, you know, Grohl's a great guy, you know? And we just don't buy, you know, all of this other stuff, of, you know, this still angsty stuff. It's like, no, dude, you're a dad.
And you know, no disrespect to Dave Grohl, like you said, he seems like a wonderful person.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with Keanu Reeves. We did a Keanu trilogy on Zombie Takeout. And, you know, by all accounts, he's a wonderful human being.
I watched every episode of that HBO show he did where he was producing the album. I mean, most of the songs at the end, that they'd perform a song at the end of each episode from the album.
Yeah.
And the episodes themselves were just fascinating. Him going to these different music scenes and, you know, interviewing different people about music. And then they would get to the song at the end, and it would be kind of like an, you know, like, I really want to like it. Just like the last movie, Keanu movie you did. I really wanted to like it. But in the end, it was just kind of like an, ugh.
But with Dave Grohl, he's a very skilled musician.
Yeah.
But I just don't buy it emotionally. And for me, that's what counts. You know, I can analyze things as a musician and a theorist and, you know, left and right. You know, I can analyze them to with an inch of their life. But what really determines whether or not I'm going to like a song is how it affects me emotionally.
But you also get why Grohl wouldn't necessarily want someone that emotional with him anymore. You know? Because it kind of leads to destruction.
Well, I mean,
and I guess it has in the end here.
Well, on to back to Bob, the Descent track 3. Love the groove, love the harmonies in the pre-chorus. Quoting some lyrics, I didn't want to play the song that gave people so much hope. I turned my back and turned away. Here's the rope that made me choke.
I liked this one a lot too. This was a candidate for strongest too. It's a very well constructed pop song. But I think I like the roughness of Silver Age a bit better.
Yeah. It's just, again, looking back at his legacy and basically saying, I don't want to be that guy anymore, and I don't know who I am. So, my descent is now begun, all the music left undone.
Huh.
Love the urgency in chorus two and in the solo. Bob is one of those people who makes me want to be a better songwriter.
Yeah, everything about him, spurring urgency and kind of a mania, you know, in his songs.
Everything on the track conveys the emotion.
Yeah.
So even if you can't understand the lyrics, you get it.
Right.
And as much as I've heard this album, I'll admit I had to look them up in a couple of cases.
I think this might be a record for how many times I actually gave listens to. I think that there are some tracks on here I actually gave a fifth listen to.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Well, a lot of this stuff, I've noticed, it gets better each time you listen to it with him.
Yeah. Yeah. You notice more nuance and you get more into the emotion of it. And because his stuff can kind of throw you at first.
Yeah.
Moving on to track 3, Briefest Moments. Briefest Moment, singular. This is the song that got me into Bob's music.
Oh, yeah?
It showed up just a few years ago randomly in my Spotify recommendations. And I'm like, oh, the guy from Husker Du, let me check this out. And I heard a few songs here and there, but they kind of slipped by me. I was aware of Workbook. But I had completely lost track of him up until that point. I listened to it, and the first time I'm like, okay, this is why I never really got into that stuff, because particularly with how low his voice is mixed.
Right.
It's kind of a hard sell. He doesn't make it easy to like by doing that. But the more you listen to it, it just kind of entrances you. I just love the abandon in this song.
Now, this song, this is one of them that I went back for a fifth time because this did not stick with me like the first three or four times.
No,
I just could not like,
it's within not the a rest hooky of the song. Album,
right. Within the rest of the album, this just gets lost completely. And yeah, you know, it's a lot like a Bad Religion song. You know, I came back to just listen to it on its own, just to hear it without the album around it. And, you know, it is pretty good, yeah.
And this is one of those cases where it is a wall of sound, lots of swirling guitar.
Yes.
But I like it.
And maybe that's why, because it's this wall of sound that you don't get much out of unless you're, like,
unless you're strictly really
paying attention to it and focused on it. Which for me is sometimes really tough to do.
It's just the kid trying to get away from his hometown.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get away from nowhere. I made a plan to find relief. You lost your balance as I tried to grab you, but then you slipped right through my hands. I don't remember how I made it out alive, but there you went, and here I am. You know, the person he brought with him somehow got lost. However you want to interpret that. There is some references to drugs at one point in the lyric. And I think Bob did have some drug issues or some addiction issues of some sort.
Right.
Love the last verse. I keep the guilt out on display. It's my memorial to mark that day. If I could fall for you, but I could not undo the briefest moment of time. I just love the emotion in that. And the solo is brilliant, of course.
Yeah.
On to track 5, Steam of Hercules. I just love how big this one is.
I'm going with this for my weakest, though. Okay. And I'll tell you why. It sounds way too much like standing on the Hoover Dam.
A little bit, yeah.
It's not a Sydney. But it is like the same exact melody.
Yeah. And not many lyrics. It's vaguely about traveling somewhere.
Right. I think is the same with the Hoover Dam song.
But I love the groove. I think there's maybe a little too much reverb on the vocal, but I like the distant sound of it and the competing guitars in the instrumental break. It's psychedelic without all the obvious synths until the end.
Maybe I'd like this better if I had heard this before hearing Hoover Dam.
Maybe. On to track 6, Fugue State. Love the drum part in the beginning.
Yeah, this feels like a very early 90s Nirvana sort of song.
Way tighter than anything Nirvana did, though. great groove. I love the riff in the middle of verse 1.
Nice. So it's a Foo Fighters song, then.
They got it from Bob. In both cases. Nice rhythmic change going into the chorus. I like the contrasting vocals in the chorus. The lyrics remind me of Neil Peart. I've mentioned, a Rush influence before with Bob. And there are a few songs here that remind me of later Rush. But particularly the lyric, I pull apart the trauma and push against gravity. I'm feeling stuck between these frequencies. Everywhere I go, I'm not breathing at. And do I know why I'm doing? Are you in my way? Why am I bleeding? Everywhere I go, the past is past believing. Everywhere I go, everyone I know, sweep it away, sweep it all day. Just love that lyric. A fugue state is when you randomly decide to leave your home and have no memory of why.
Huh. Wow.
He gets deep.
The song is one of those that grow on you.
Oh yeah,
with multiple listens.
Yeah,
The first I was kind of like, I don't know, do we really need more 90s Nirvana stuff? But then once you you pick out some parts, like the first half is a lot more original, a lot more Bob.
Yeah.
And it's just the later part in the end where it gets repetitive and you could just hear Cobain doing those vocals at the end.
And one quick note about Steam of Hercules. It was on my list for maybe weakest before I got to my actual weakest. So,
oh yeah.
Track 7, Round the City Square. This one to me feels a little Husker Du-ish.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of Husker.
Well, I mean, Bob,
It's hard to determine which is which. Honestly, if you put the three albums together that we've done, it would be hard for me to pick which one's on which.
Oh, no, I A-B'd this and Flip Your Wig just to see, why that one bothered my ears and this one doesn't.
Huh.
It's in the EQ. I can definitely tell that one. And this definitely does feel like an older writer. You're writing, these were definitely written from an older perspective. But, yeah, it's the same guy writing them. So there are going to be a lot of similarities. Love the verse melody, love the anger in the vocal, and the interplay between the guitar and the vocals after the chorus, also the solo.
Bob bass really line's great.
Yeah, Bob really shows off on this one.
And, he's consciously going for that classic mold sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it's Husker or Sugar.
Yeah. Track 8, Angels Rearranged. This is my pick for weakest.
Yeah, this was a contender for weakest too.
This one just feels very 90s.
Yeah. I mean, he went for a lot of 90s here. I like the varied sound to it. The end, the keyboards and stuff, but I don't know. When the lyrics seem a bit cringy. Or at least I feel that way anytime someone uses angels, or rhymes change and rearrange. I'm just like, no, just don't, man. It's one of the
few songs I didn't quote.
Right. That's Brady Bunch shit. Yeah, don't do that.
Right. Track 9, Keep Believing. Love the punk groove on this one. Great riff in the chorus. It's just a straight up loud punk song.
Right. This is another one that could have been on either of the two that we did.
But like the lyric, no choice, can't leave, I have to keep believing. It just gets so manic at the end. And then it slows, or until it slows down at the end. Into this more kind of like rock groove. And finally, First Time Joy. At the start, at least, it's Bob's requisite mellow song on his more recent stuff.
Yeah, like, I was liking it. Like, the first verse, part is kind of, and then it's when that chorus kicks in.
Hmm.
Or is that even a chorus? It just builds, kind of.
Yeah, he's not really, he doesn't really stick to choruses, per se.
Right. Because the chorus just kind of goes for the rest of the song and then just gets kicked up.
His structures get interesting.
Yeah.
But I like the insistent kick. It's got a nice melody. I like the softness of the vocal in the beginning. Though I do think the synth strings were a bit much.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to that and just kind of like, what is that he's doing? Mm. But you understand why the beginning is kind of because it's used to build up the middle section and closing section.
It just explodes.
Right.
Love the chorus. I wrapped my heart in words you say, but all we cherish will decay. First time joy and last time pain. Here we go again. So do you recommend it?
I understand why we've had the rule of not doing the same artists more than once. Because we've kind of gotten...
Oh, more than once in general, yeah.
Right. Putting them in a row, man. But I would recommend this one, too.
I definitely recommend it. Like I said, it's... My favorite song of his is on the next album, Beauty and Ruin. It's called The War. Highly recommend that one. I'll probably be doing... I think I'm going to be doing a cover of it next week on my YouTube channel. But I love this album, particularly the first half.
So of the three, which one would you say is the best?
Bob solo stuff is best to me. Whose Career... I just can't deal with the way they're mixed. Sugar, same deal, though. I love Hoover Dam. He does a great solo version of Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
Live, without all the strings and shit. And synthesizers. I think I'm
torn between Husker and Sugar, honestly. Mm. I think at this point, there's a lot of nostalgia here that we just, it's done well, but I think I'd go for... probably something in the prime,
Like I mentioned, I had dug into his early solo stuff last night. He did an album called Modulate. It's not on Spotify. I forgot to check YouTube. I gotta find it. Apparently it's electronica.
Wow. Okay.
Another one of his albums, Body of Song, is basically like dance rock.
Well, that's interesting. So it's something like what year was it? Was it like in the early aughts?
It was 2005.
Ah, right. Like the same time Billy Corgan did The Future Embrace.
It wasn't quite as like synthy as a lot of Corgan stuff around that time. It was just basic guitar-based drum stuff. But a lot of it would have fit nicely on the Hacker soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
It's got that kind of vibe to it. So he's experimented quite a bit, which I appreciate.
Oh, definitely.
And that's it for Silver Age. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Psychodrama by Dave, more British hip-hop. I've gotten some strong recommendations for British hip-hop this year.
Well, that's cool.
We loved Lava LaRue. We were kind of split on Lil Sims, so we'll see how this one goes. And we're following, it's kind of a two-parter, we're following that with Danger Mouse.
Oh, okay.
And until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
On to track four, Steam of Hercules. I almost said stream.
Five, sir.
I don't have numbers in my notes. Okay. As I'm stumbling on that bit.
Track five.
Track four, Steam of Hercules.
Five, sir.
No, it is four.
Is it?
Yep. No, Star you're Machine, one, two, Silver three. Age,
Descent.
You're right, it is five. Moment. I'm sorry.
Steam of Hercules.